City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Mandan edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, April 8th, and I'm here in the studio, Mary Van Sickle at Dakota Media Access. And to accommodate our requirements to be socially distancing at this time, Jim Neubauer, City Administrator for the City of Mandan, is in his office over in City Hall.
Well, hi, Mary. How are you? We'll try this again, and I'm sure it'll go as successful as it did last time.
We did it pretty well last time, that is true. And you had a City Commission meeting last night. We usually always meet the day after. Right. It was a really lengthy meeting and a bit of a challenge because most of the meeting was done virtually. You had a lot of commissioners who were not present in the room, which was according to our directives. And you had the public calling in on phone and via Zoom. So it was it got a little sloppy in some areas, but you managed to get the business done last night.
Yep. A little dicey at times. Like I said, I think everyone in the world now is working through technical issues and sometimes human error, whether to mute your phone and not mute your phone and things like that. So like I said, we appreciate everyone's patience with us while we make our way through this very difficult and challenging time for everybody and still trying to provide public access and a way for public to comment. And I think that's where we were having a little bit of issues last night we did provide a phone number for folks to call in on. And sometimes that got a little scratchy. But again, we're continuing to test, continuing to work out new solutions. And I'm sure we're learning things every day.
Well, I think there's some comfort in knowing that the business of the cities is still moving forward, you know, and last night it was especially challenging, I think, because you did have six public hearings scheduled. Yeah. Those things have to move forward. So it creates a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. As we talked about, it's kind of Murphy's Law, the one meeting or the one time when you're really not supposed to engage with the public and do that. You've got six public hearings that the public has to be able to comment on. And that's why we're making arrangements for that to happen. And we got through it. I won't say we got through it real well, but we got through it and the public was able to comment and make sure that the commissioners heard what they had to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that. The first thing up on your agenda had to do with Cloverdale Foods and a major expansion that they're going through with their warehousing, building a new warehouse facility, as I understand. That's a big project and certainly one that benefits the entire community. You want to give us the summary of that project, Jim?
We've been working with Cloverdale for probably over a year right now, and they've been, they put plans in place and then they had to take a time out for a little bit, and they're back on ready to rock and roll now. But they're looking at, in essence, about a $20 million expansion, $20 plus million to their facility. Their bacon sales have kind of taken off through the roof. They're expanding into new markets all over the country. And again, they need to make some changes to their product lines, how they're putting that product together, how they're taking that product into the plant and how they're getting it out of the plant. And again, we're really happy they're choosing to expand in Mandan. They have many opportunities that they could be closer to their markets. The food service industry, you need to go where the mouths are. And whether it's Texas, whether it's California, whether it's East Coast, Cloverdale certainly could choose to locate closer to those markets and save on, transportation for the raw product in and transportation for the finished product out. They're choosing Mandan to expand in. And like I said, we're pretty grateful on that. But Scott Russell did a nice job of explaining, the history behind Cloverdale, the expansion that they're going through right now. I think they're hoping to be groundbreaking here, this spring on that, where we'll see, again, the $20 plus million expansion. Last night, there were several items for Cloverdale on the agenda, including one was a 5-year property tax exemption. They are a qualifying business in North Dakota, and in turn, they meet those definitions. And like I said, the exemption is only on the expanded portion of the business. It's not on the entire facility. So the expansion part, like I said, took public comment. And like I said, Scott did a nice job of explaining a little bit of history. with his child, you know, in virtual meetings. I think one of his kids was getting involved in that too. So again, we're all having patience, and sometimes, you know, that's a good break for everyone.
That added a little levity to the the whole evening when his 4-year-old came into the room, needed some assistance pretty quickly to use the
very plainly said he needed some assistance. I like that.
that was kind of cute, but it's all about virtual meetings and some of the issues that we are seeing. Right. So you talk about property tax exemptions. He also approved last night was a PACE interest buy down. And I think that was really interesting because a portion of that buy down will supposedly come from the city of Bismarck as well. And that's a shared project between the communities as it should be. I mean, we have hundreds of people working in Cloverdale. I'm sure they come from all points in the Bismarck Mandan area.
From all points in the area. And like I said, we've worked really well with the Bismarck Vision Fund and the Mandan Growth Fund together on major projects such as this. We've shared that with NISC, with the Bismarck Vision Fund. They have at times come in and helped us out with that. With Cloverdale, we obviously understand it's a benefit to this entire region, not just Bismarck and Mandan, but Burley and Morton counties and everyone that they're employing folks from all over. So like I said, I think the Mandan side, we approved, we split that PACE portion with 50-50. So Bismarck will hopefully take up 50%. We'll take up 50%. And again, great things are happening up at Cloverdale. And like I said, we look forward to it. You know, between the PACE interest buy down, we also had some variances on driveways as their expansion will, I think, add an additional driveway to their facility, which again accommodates their warehousing and how their product moves in and out of that facility. There was also a variance on, you know, when the original plant was built and then the I-94 went through, there was, I think, 15 feet or something they needed a variance on for this project to go through. And again, it's, you know, it wasn't a big deal. But we needed to go through the process to grant that variance. So all of those things were approved for Cloverdale last night. And again, great employer in Mandan, very beneficial to the community from not only employees they bring to town, but also their support for community events. Again, can't say enough good things about them.
So again, all went through. Do you anticipate that this project's going to start, that they'll start building this summer already?
Yes, that is their hope right now. That's kind of a moving target for them. And I think we heard that from Scott last night. And, you know, this whole COVID-19 has put a lot of building plans into a state of flux. But, you know, for their part, they are looking forward to moving forward as soon as possible. And they said even April or May, they could see some action going on out there.
Yeah, well, moving on to your next public hearing that we took up quite a bit of discussion last night was the street improvement projects up in the Northwest area, which would be in that Old Red Trail area.
Correct.
Kind of complicated, lots of different sections, but the protest period ended, as I understand, just a couple days ago. It was Monday, and there were not enough protests to stop the project, so now it moves forward. Advertisement for bids are out, and that deadline is coming up pretty soon.
There you go. We, on Monday at 4 o'clock was the deadline for any protests to be filed on this project. And by North Coast Century Code, if over 50% of the property area within a district, if that, you know, it might be the number of owners, it doesn't matter the number of owners, but it's a matter of the square footage in that area. If more than 50% of the land area protests out, then that project dies. You know, Justin Froseth had presented a couple different scenarios to the board based on here's the area. The area does not meet the 50% test. The number of parcels in that district did not meet the 50% test. And also if you look at trying to look at a cost basis, you know, of the total project cost, that they did not meet more than 50%. So again, none of those criteria, and only, you know, one of them is by Century Code, and that's square footage of the area. None of those cross the 50% line. So the project technically can move forward should the board choose to move forward on it.
But there was a modification. It did move forward, but there was some modifications to a particular section of these projects, of this project.
Yep. There's one project where I think all the residents on a portion of Lewis Road did not want to have that street portion reconstructed. They preferred to have a chip seal and overlay, and will we'll add that as an alternate to the bid and see where prices come back at. The fear that we have from the city standpoint is that we're recommending that this portion of Lewis Road be reconstructed. Significant cost to the property owners, we understand that. And it's much less cost to do a chip seal. But again, in the long run, we think that that road is going to have to be reconstructed. So are we just kind of pushing that can down the road? But again, all the residents in this area wanted that alternate looked at. And okay. So though that bid date was with the amendment pushed off to next Monday, which would be, depending on when you're listening to this, it would be April 13th. We'll know more on, what the bids look like as far as cost-wise, and then the board will consider that, I think, April 21st or the first meeting in May.
Okay.
So
we'll talk about it again, I'm sure.
We shall.
There was an amendment made last night. This was, again, another public hearing to the land use and transportation plan. Yep. It had to do with some access areas and transportation in the north of your middle school.
Right. We know that Dr. Belanger owns several hundred acres up in that area. We know that there's talk of potentially building a new high school in Mandan. In that area is a potential location. Nothing has been set in stone. They presented an amendment to the land use and transportation plan based on some of the residents who kind of live on a bluff in that area. There was some higher density housing that was going to be proposed down below them. They wanted to see that lower density proposal go through. Dr. Belanger and his team agreed to that amendment, and so that was approved last night at Planning and Zoning. Again, there's about 500 acres of this property that could be developed. This is that's not going to happen tomorrow. And again, it takes a long time to develop 500 acres, and you're probably talking 5, 10, 15, maybe 20 years before this development gets fully blown. But again, part of the amendment last night was to that plan was in response to some public input that had been received.
Okay. Also, last on our list of public hearings had to do with an ordinance that was put in place concerning multi-use shop condos.
Right.
You and I were talking earlier about this. It's kind of surprising, but maybe not so surprising, that a lot of these large shops that go in and then they're condoed out sometimes end up not being used for the purpose that you expect them to. And that was really the reason for this ordinance.
Correct. And when we say condo out, it's like you can build one big long shop and all of a sudden you start putting partitions in it and you sell off to another owner, so you actually sell that part. You're not renting it to them, you sell that part. Part of our ordinance last night, it's a long and seems kind of a complicated ordinance, but it really sets out at the beginning, what is your intended use for this project? Because we have seen some shop condos turned into living quarters. And in turn, we've got different requirements from a public safety standpoint. How is that, number one, how is that piece of property going to be valued, because it'd be different if it's a shop versus if it's a living, if someone's living there. Two, there's building inspection and building codes that have to be followed if you've got someone living there. And three, one of the most important pieces of that is if it's classified as an industrial shop condo, we, from a fire standpoint, we don't expect there to be human beings living in there. And so then if there's a fire and the fire department starts attacking that fire, it'll be much different if it's a living unit versus if it's just a storage unit. And like you said, so we need to know up front and we need to know how those are going to be handled. And both, like I said, it's a public safety standpoint, it's a building inspection standpoint, it's a utility billing issue. So lots of different complications arise when these units start getting condoed out and converted. So we're just asking the developer up front, state what your purpose is.
Right. So you're saying at the beginning of the process, when the building permit is allowed for this, they have to state what the use is going
Correct.
To be for these.
Yeah. Okay. Because that'll all factor into, all right, if it's going to be a living unit, if you're going to have a living unit in there, then it's going to have to be sprinkled and other conditions provided to it. So it's not just as simple, I've got, five storage units here. If one of them turns out and somebody's living in there, then we've got issues. Okay. That we need to deal with. And a lot of it, like I said, deals with public safety and proper valuation of those properties.
Okay. Well, moving on to new business, This item doesn't seem very new because we've talked about it a number of times. And that has to do with your raw water intake. You had bids come in the fall. They were unexpectedly higher than you wanted. And so kind of went back to the drawing board. But last night, the commission did approve to move forward and advertise, rebid this and send out the advertisements.
Yep, that's where we're at. Like you said, November, we received bids were considerably higher than we expected and only one bidder. So we rejected those bids. Engineering firm got back together and said, okay, let's contact all the potential bidders again, like we did before, find out, you know, what the issues were related to the existing bid package. Again, engineering firm evaluated what are our options here. Can we split this project into different pieces, therefore enticing more bidders? Can we look at the constructability of this project? And are there different ways that we can construct it that will entice more bidders and hopefully save costs? So again, the board approved moving forward with those bids last night. Bids will be back probably end of May, first part of June. We anticipate there will be an increase from the total overall cost of the project. Within that bid spec, we are asking for an additional time to before we would award bids. So we'd like to get bids in hand. We've been in constant communication with the State Water Commission on this project because they are a partner in the funding. Also, Marathon Petroleum is a partner in the funding on this. So we've been keeping all parties informed. When we get bids back, then we'll probably have another request to make to the Water Commission to assist with this project. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So it will be out for bids shortly.
All right, more to come. We'll be talking about it again, I'm sure. Yep. Also under new business was a change to your spring cleanup week. And much of this is a result of, the COVID-19 virus situation that we have. It's not spring cleanup week, it's spring cleanup landfill.
Yes, we, if folks remember in the fall of 2019, we did a free landfill week and we changed normally in the spring. We'll do boulevard pickup or curbside pickup of items. And we hire additional crew to do that. And, you know, part of this is the advertising for it and things like that. In this case, because of COVID-19, and, you know, that's a kind of a new term in our vernacular from now until forever, probably. As a result of COVID-19, one of the big things we noticed during cleanup week when we do curbside cleanup is there's a lot of traffic going around streets and people are looking for treasures that they may find on somebody's boulevard that, you know, what's trash to one is treasure to another. There's a lot of that going on. We want to minimize, again, that human social contact with people, and whether it's material and things like that. We don't want that material being taken off the boulevard and put into someone else's house. So again, we will provide a free week for cleanup or free landfill week. Take your items out to the landfill. We'll evaluate in the fall. I know there's some talk, can you do a cleanup week in the fall as boulevard? And we have other issues. You know, there's kind of a rhythm in the public works area. You know, as soon as the hot mix plants get going here in May, then we'll be out patching and things like that, pothole filling. So again, we'll evaluate that as we get closer to fall and see how things shake out. But again, for this one, we're changing it from a pickup on your boulevard to, you know, haul it out to the landfill. You get a free pass out there. Other than for your normal tires and construction debris, which we continue to charge for.
Right. So residential use only for the
correct
waiving the fee. So, and that starts April 20th, is that?
I believe so. Okay. Yep. So watch. I think we have a social media post out there this morning. Watch our website, and those updates are on there right now on what you can and can't do.
Yep. So it's a moving. Everything's a moving target right now. So
correct.
cityofmandan.com if you're not sure, or go on to Facebook or social media and put in City of Mandan, and you'll get your information.
Like us on Facebook and then you'll get all your good information from us.
Sounds good. Well, that kind of covers the regular meeting of the commission last night, but you also had another meeting tailing this one for Board of Equalization. So that started at 7:00. You actually had to interrupt your regular meeting, go to that meeting. It was quite a night.
it was interesting to say the least. We did a recess of the regular board meeting, went into the Board of Equalization meeting. We did have some people that were on the phone that wanted to make comments to the commission. We took those comments, and really Assessor Kimberly Markley presents her report Here's what property values look like as of February 1st of 2020. So that's an important timeline, is that we did have some people questioning on, gee, are my home values dropping because of COVID-19 and things like that? And I think Kimberly addressed that by saying, you know what, by law, we set your value as of February 1st, 2020. And if we see that there's a change in the market in 2020, that will be reflective on February 1st of 2021. And so, like I said, we had a lot of people that were asking that question. Process from there is the board accepted her values that she had presented, also accepted some of the amendments or changes to those values that we had heard from folks after we had sent, I think, 857 letters out 2-3 weeks ago on if you had a change in value of $3,000 or 10%, you would have gotten a letter, whether it's a raw land or commercial building or residential building. You know, since the city commission accepted those, or technically they're called the Board of Equalization, accepted those adjustments. There were, I think, two or three folks that we will need to kind of make special accommodations for to talk through further their values. But again, those accepted values will go over to Morton County as here's what the city approved. If folks are not happy with their values or they want to contest it, they can appeal that to the county board. If they're still not happy with the county's decision, they can appeal up to the State Board of Equalization, and that is in August of 2020. So, sure. So we finished that, and then we moved back into the regular meeting and kind of tried to wrap things up a little bit.
So getting off the meetings of last yes. night, talking about other concerns for the city, the filing deadline for the June 9th primary was Monday afternoon, and looking at all the results and the candidates who have filed for the city of Mandan, there wasn't a whole lot of activity. You have the mayor's position and two city commissioners. There are no contested races, as you told me earlier today.
Yep. We did a very exciting drawing for name positions on our ballot yesterday at noon. said with large tongue in cheek, because there are no contested races. We have one candidate for mayor, and that is incumbent Tim Helbling. We have two city commissioners. Mike Brown is the incumbent, and newcomer Joseph Camisa will be running for the two city commission spots. I believe Judge Kautzman is the only candidate for judge, and also Park Board has two positions open, and I believe Wade Meschke and Jennifer Freilich will be running for those two positions. Again, there's always, we have to provide for a line for write-ins, so those will be there too. But like I said, we didn't have a lot of contested races on the city side for this coming, and you know, part of that could be, again, from COVID-19, it was a challenge to obtain signatures.
A lot of uncertainty right now, and that certainly could have an effect. Regardless, it's not necessarily healthy for any community to have uncontested races, but
yep.
I did note that the school board, we have three positions that are going to be open and four candidates have filed, although I'm not quite clear if that's, I think the school board, the Mandan school board has a certain positions.
Yep, they have positions that are not within the city limits, but within the district, but outside the corporate limits of the city.
Sure.
And so there's some of those going on. I think Morton County has, of course, Morton County for their commissioner positions is a primary. Mm-hmm. And so those deadlines were also on Monday.
Well, let's move off elections and just talk generally about what's going on in the city. I mean, you guys have been working in a whirlwind pace just to keep up with what's going on and getting your staff in safe positions, and you were sharing earlier that you've moved into your second floor of your building and moved people so that they are literally further apart and be able to communicate a little easier. So that's a big move in itself, and the facility, the city hall, has closed at this point.
Yep.
Open for business, but closed to the doors are locked.
We're trying to say that we are open for business as usual. It's not really not usual in these times. Again, like you said, we have moved some people around in City Hall to provide more distance between each other. We have the opportune space here, we have a lot of room that we can move people to. So we took our building inspectors and moved them upstairs to City Hall on a temporary basis. We have a number of employees that have been working from home. And again, we've tried to make as many accommodations as we can for folks in this, you know, it's a very challenging time for everyone with, you know, childcare and school out. And some people have, you know, health issues and they don't necessarily want to be at work. We made accommodations for them to work from home. And, you know, we're doing our best from, you know, but we still know we have to police, fire, we have to respond to, we have to make sure people turn on their faucet at home and there's water there. And we need to make sure when they flush something down the drain that those facilities are still. So they have been doing a lot of shift splitting. Again, the idea is to minimize human contact, which is kind of opposite of what we always try and do in our world as we want. We like human contact because those are where some of our best ideas come up with if you're sharing things. But again, on this time of our lives, it's social distancing. And, you know, we've got public works people that are coming in at midnight to 8 a.m. They're wiping vehicles down when they get in, they're wiping them out when they leave. And the next crew is coming in at a different shift to work. Same thing is going on at our water treatment plant and our wastewater plant where, you know, again, minimizing human contact. We have moved our utility maintenance folks from our public works area up to our grounds maintenance. Again, fewer people up there, more room to spread out. So again, we're doing a lot of things, public safety. They're all making sure they've got their PPEs or personal protective equipment. You know, again, new terms that we probably really didn't care about before are now very cognizant about. So again, we're making accommodations and making sure that folks can still need to function. And we're finding new ways that can work. And I applaud all of our employees for being patient with us. We applaud the public for being patient with us too, because we know there are challenging times ahead, and there have been in the past, and we're all doing the best that we can.
Yeah. I met with Commissioner Guy here for our Bismarck City Current mm-hmm. last week, and we did talk about Bisman Transit, but we want to definitely mention that today with you, because obviously Bisman Transit is part of Mandan as well. The public transit is suspended for the time being. Paratransit has beefed up somewhat to accommodate special requests, and you have to request paratransit in advance to get a ride. It has to be, I believe, 24 hours in advance. Yeah. Fees are waived for now because they don't want to be handling tickets or money in any way. But that's a big impact, I would assume, to the community to suspend these services. And if people do need a ride there, I think the recommended again to call them at 258-6817, and they are at bismantransit.com. So easy to find them, get in touch with them if people do need assistance and a ride to get to an essential position. We don't want to be having people out just riding around on paratransit either.
Absolutely.
So we'll keep people up to date on that. And again, if people want to know what's going on in the city of Mandan, I think the Facebook and social media sites are fantastic. Your cityofmandan.com, keeping up with the news that's going on there. You can subscribe to get news alerts. So recommend that people do that right now.
Yep, very good point. On our City of Mandan webpage, you can go to, you know, how to contact us or get email updates. And as we put, you know, we put releases out this morning on spring cleanup and the changes to that. One thing that we needed to go to print with our Mandan Messenger a few weeks ago, and we said on our spring cleanup, you know, things may change. So the information you read in the messenger, if you get that in the mail still, you'll need to, again, check our website and know that has changed. I have to throw one shout out to our, one of the, you know, fun things that we do every year is the Mayor for a Day essay contest winner. So last night, Mayor Helbling, he judges the submissions, and Scarlett Chorney was the winner last night. So we normally do, you know, a pizza party and recognize her at a commission meeting and things like that. So we'll do that at a later date when things kind of settle down, hopefully. But again, congratulations to her. It's one of the things that, and if you choose, you can download our agenda packet on our website and you can read her letter.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're pretty darn fun to read. So again, a shout out to her, and we thank all the kids that submitted.
Congratulations from third graders. To her. Congrats to her, definitely. And you bring up a good point about information and reliable sources of information too. I think, you know, there's, I think people are spending a lot more time on social media than they maybe normally have. There is a source for good information here. And I think just to keep people directed to those sources, cityofmandan.com or the CDC, North Dakota Department of Health, these are the places people should be getting their information, really, not from chatting and comments made on Facebook. I think that's really important.
Correct.
To remind people of that. So, Jim, that's kind of what we, you know, all my notes I had today. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add.
Yep, I think Governor Burgum and, yep, encourage folks to, you know, be patient with folks, with everyone. Whether it's your neighbors, whether it's your kids, whether it's your spouse, pick your favorite. These are difficult times for everybody and they're challenging. We are learning how to do business in a new way. And
you mentioned last
welcome
night.
Welcome that challenge. And
you mentioned last night too, Jim, that you are in regular meetings with the state of North Dakota and other cities across the state through the Governor Burgum, also through the League of Cities. I know the Association of Counties also has conversations going on constantly between them and sharing information. I think that's reassuring to know that those best practices are being shared by everyone.
Absolutely. And you know, Mort County and City of Mandan work very well together. We have a video call like we're doing right now twice a week to keep in touch with Custer Health and with Mort County and the City of Mandan officials, kind of about, okay, what are you hearing through all of this? Great communication is occurring, and you know, one of the things is what Dakota Media does. So we again want to thank you and Josh and Ben and Holly and Tammy and everybody. And like I said, I know I'm leaving somebody out, but I think it's important for the public to know that we're still here and we're still working.
Yeah, that's a good point, and thank you for the. For the recognition. We appreciate that. We're just trying to keep up here as well. And, you know, it's just good to know that the city staff is working hard and they're still in place, even though we might not see them and they're not as visible. Obviously our first responders, all the grocery store workers, and certainly our healthcare workers that we are all relying on and hopefully will not need to rely on so much in the future, but there's a lot to be thankful for. And we just want people to be safe, and I hope you continue to be safe and all the people who are working on behalf of citizens.
So. Thank you, Mary. And again, we appreciate everything you guys are doing. And again, to the citizens out there, keep your distance. Social distance is the word, and we'll get through this. So
great.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Stay healthy.
All right.
All right.
We will.
All right. And thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current. We hope you all stay healthy as well. Take care.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.